Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Famous paintings give the impression that Jesus had long hair and a kind face. But the Jesus of Revelation is a Christ with eyes of flaming fire. His words thundered to seven churches in the first century. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues an eight-part series on what Jesus thinks of his church. We're beginning with a vision of Jesus, a vision described in Revelation chapter 1, verse 14.
It says that his eyes were like a flame of fire. If you could have seen his eyes when he was on earth, sometimes they were filled with tears. Sometimes they were red with the strain of lack of sleep. And now his eyes are like a flame of fire, seeing through everyone. It's a symbol of omniscience. I remember all of us as parents have sometimes said to our children, I don't remember saying it, but I remember it was said to me, I can just see right through you. I can just see right through you. Well, thankfully, I was glad that my parents couldn't see right through me, though sometimes they claim to. But Jesus sees right through you. The Bible says that all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. There is nothing that is hidden in his sight. I want you to see Jesus today looking at you with eyes that are piercing like fire. And he sees the hidden sins. He sees the secret plans. He sees you in your loneliness and when you're alone and when you're with others. And he not only sees your body, but your mind and your heart and your intentions. Jesus here, his eyes are like a flame of fire. It says in verse 15, his feet were like bronze glowing or burnished bronze. These were, after all, the feet that walked the dusty roads of Palestine. They were the feet that walked along and then eventually were nail-pierced when he was put in great humiliation on the cross. These feet now are feet of judgment. And these are the feet about whom it says in the Old Testament, his goings forth have been from of old and from everlasting. These feet are ones that if you could see, you could not absorb it into your soul as Jesus walks among the candlesticks, observing what the churches are doing. And then it says, the voice like the voice of many waters. When he was on earth, he sometimes whispered. There in the upper room, there was that discussion between Peter and John, wondering who was going to betray him. And John was, of course, leaning on the chest of Jesus as the disciples arranged themselves actually on the floor. The way in which we see the Last Supper painted is really not historically accurate. And as they were there, Jesus whispered, and the scripture says that he sometimes cried up to God with long crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and he was heard. But this voice, which oftentimes now was not heard, is like the voice of many waters. On at least two occasions in my life, I have been to Niagara Falls. Now, if you go to Niagara Falls, could I say it humbly, don't be satisfied with seeing the American side of the falls. You have to go to the Canadian Falls. And when you see those hundreds of tons of water every second going over that huge cliff, if you're standing next to someone, you can't talk to them. You can only mouth the words because the rush and the roar of the water is so overwhelming. And now he who was not often heard on earth is heard from heaven, and no one can ignore his voice because his voice is thunderous and powerful. And then the text goes on to say that on his right hand, the right hand which on earth had a spike, nails that were put through it. Now he has in his right hand, notice it there in the text, seven stars. And what are the seven stars? The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. In fact, next time as we look into the story of Ephesus, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, very probably it was a messenger. That's another way to translate the word angel. It may also refer to the bishop, and I say this hesitantly, or the lead pastor of the church. And I've been meditating on this now for more than a week, that those leaders are in Jesus Christ's right hand. That's where the seven stars are, because it says the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. So there's the nail-pierced hand now, glorified, holding the churches and holding the leaders of the churches in that nail-pierced hand. The text goes on and it says, and out of his mouth came a two-edged sword, a sharp two-edged sword. Oh, oftentimes his mouth was swollen because of crying and tears when he was here on earth. Now we see this picture of Jesus in absolute triumph. And we notice that there's this sword coming out of his mouth, a sharp two-edged sword. It was the kind of sword that was used with both hands and totally lethal and devastating. And that comes out of the mouth of Jesus. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, is this Jesus, the meek and mild Jesus? This is the meek and mild Jesus as judge, as returning king. Wow. Scripture says in 1 Thessalonians that when Jesus comes, he will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And elsewhere it says, people shall be slain by the sword of his mouth. Wow. This is Jesus. You'll notice then it says his face. Now let's talk about his face. On earth, the Bible says that his face was more disfigured than that of any other man, beaten to pulp. Yes, the beard plucked out, slapped, hit, whipped. We all remember the movie, Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ. That's what he went through. Greatly humiliated, in great pain. And now the Bible says, and I saw his face, and it was like the sun in full strength. There it is, shining in a blaze of eternal glory. That's the face of the Redeemer as judge and as king. John realized that he was in the presence of infinite knowledge. He realized that he was in the presence of infinite power. He realized that he was in the presence of infinite holiness. So he did what any rational person would do in that situation. He fell down, the scripture says, verse 17, I fell at his feet as though dead. Spurgeon, the great 19th century preacher from England, said, better to be dead at the feet of the triumphant Christ than to be alive anywhere else. And if you and I caught a glimpse of Jesus like John saw him, we also would fall down and say, this is the King, this is the Lord, this is the eternal judge. You look at Scripture and you discover that this is what always happened to people who came in contact with God. Job said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye sees thee, therefore I abhor myself. In dust and in ashes I lie before God in humiliation and prayer. Isaiah, he says, I have seen the King, the Lord of hosts, therefore I abhor myself. This is the natural position of any rational person in the presence of God. Now, I find this very interesting because we have to visualize it. By the way, I had one time wondered whether or not there had been a painting made of Jesus like this, but I realized that that would have been a mistake for us to find it and even show it because it would be so inadequate, just like my words today are totally inadequate to describe what John saw. But the Bible says that when John was there, as it were, dead, that Jesus took his right hand. Now, this is the hand with which he holds the seven stars. I thought to myself, did he put them down in order to put his hand on John? I don't think so, because you remember, it is Jesus, and impossible things are very possible with the creator of the sun, the moon, the stars, and all things. But the Bible says that Jesus took his right hand, the one that had the seven stars, and he placed it on John. What an act of kindness. And he said, do not fear. He said, John, I've got good news. You don't have to fear death, because I am he that was dead and am alive. I'm Jesus who triumphed over death. And you don't have to fear eternity, because I have the keys of death and of Hades. And so it is that this John, who leaned on the chest of Jesus at the Last Supper, falls before him in worship and overwhelming adoration, and Jesus kindly says, don't be afraid. If you're with me, you can handle the future. I have the key of death and of Hades. Milton said that the reason that Satan rebelled is that he would rather be king in hell than a servant in heaven. What a mistake Lucifer made, because there are no kings in hell. In hell, Lucifer is not the tormentor, he is the tormented. And he will be tormented day and night forever and ever. It's always a bad idea to fight God. Well, my friend, it is always a bad idea to fight God. And this is Pastor Lutzer. You've heard part of a message about Jesus and the revelation that was given to John about him. I encourage you to listen to this entire series. In many respects, when I think about Jesus Christ's relationship to the church and what he thinks about us, I believe that there is no more important word in all of the Bible than the letters that Jesus dictated to John to the seven churches of Revelation. And this vision introduces us to this series. Call a friend. Invite them to listen with you. Make sure that you listen consistently, because the words that are going to be shared from the lips of Jesus are transforming, and none of us should ignore them.
Erwin Lutzer with more of A Vision of Jesus, the first in a series of 8 messages on what Jesus thinks of his church. Next time, the exalted Jesus begins his revelation to John. What Jesus Thinks of His Church is an 8-part series we'd like to send you on CD. It's our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about what Jesus thinks of His church. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.